Welcome to the Father's Vineyard Audio Podcast. Here is today's message.
Well, I'm happy to be here. How about you? Man, it's awesome to be here. It really is. You know, the Jewish New Year started this past weekend. And on Wednesday nights, we started this past Wednesday. We're talking about what the New Year means and what to look forward to, and what you should expect, and what are some of the things that we are looking that we need to be doing in this new year. And we'll continue that this coming Wednesday, right over here at 6 o'clock. We'll go from 6 to 7. We try to be finished right close to 7, a couple minutes after, so the praise team can get up and do a rehearsal, so they don't have to be here so late. You know, because we're all in this together. You know, because we have to be considerate. The Bible says for us to be considerate one to another. Have you know some of that's leaving? And it shouldn't leave. Some of the civility that we have, that culture should have, is beginning to diminish. You know, the very kindness is beginning to diminish, but it isn't gone forever. As long as we're following God, we're going to have, you know, the fruit of the Spirit, and one of them is kindness. Amen? To be kind one to another. And that kindness goes a long way. You know, you can preach to them all day long, but when you're kind to them and you love them, it speaks volumes of how you treat people. Have you ever been complimented by somebody, but you were treated pretty poorly by the same person? The compliment didn't go very far, but the behavior lasts forever almost. And you just need to forgive people. But I want to encourage you to understand that even in the midst of the chaos that's going on, we have a kingdom that's not shaken, and we have a God who is always there with us, and no matter what we enter into, he's with us. We're not going alone. And also, we have each other. And that's some of the things that we're going to be talking about today. I want you to go to Ephesians chapter 4, and hopefully we'll be able to finish up some of these things that we've been talking about, what Jesus has given us concerning the apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers, and why it's so important that Jesus gave us that. And we've been sort of taking our time through it so we completely understand this passage. And, not completely. I don't know that we ever completely understand any passage because new stuff keeps coming by the Holy Spirit through it. But we get the foundational pieces. So Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11, and he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some as pastors and teachers for the equipping of the saints for the work of the ministry to the building up of the body of Christ, until we all attain to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to a mature man. Everybody say a mature man. To a mature man. To the measure of the stature which belongs to the fullness of Christ. As a result, see, there's a result of everything that God does for us and gives us. As a result, if we follow this thing that God's given us, to be trained up and mature, as a result, we will no longer be children, tossed here and there by waves and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by the trickery of men, and by the craftiness in deceitful scheming. We have been really digging into these verses and with gaining understanding of how to live out what Jesus said just in these few verses. That he's given us people in our life to help us to learn, to be discipled, to grow, to not be children, and to become mature to the fullness of Jesus. Everybody say the fullness of Jesus. We want to be in. See, he's fully in us, but we are not fully walking in him. And say that is the maturity thing. That's how we grow. Now, we are walking in him, but the fullness of it, we haven't got there yet. Then he goes on, he said, because once you get to this place, you won't be tricked, you won't be like children, you won't be immature, and you won't be deceived, and you won't be caught off guard, because you have been trained by the people who has put in your life to give you the word and revelation that God is speaking. Is that true? Sometimes we haven't received what God has given. And because of that, we remain like children. We remain, or childish, I should say, remain childish, and we we just show out, pitch a fit. Y'all know what I'm talking about. And but anyway, he says, but here's the other result. Once you get this, he said, but speaking the truth in love, we're to grow up in all aspects into him who is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body, being fitted and held together by what every joint supplies, according to the proper working of each individual part, causes the growth of the body for the building up of itself in love. Now, I'm going to try to unpack some of these things. I don't have time to probably do it all, but I want to be able to show you some of the deeper things in the scriptures as we learn what this means. What he's saying here, but speaking the truth in love. I want to let you know real quick that the qualifier to speaking the truth is love. You being in love, you walking in this love, carrying love, showing the love, and this is the unconditional love. This is not the agape. I mean, it is the agape. It's not the love that is lustful, it's prideful. It's not any of that love. It's not the eros. It's not the storge. It's not any of that. It is the unconditional love of God. When you begin to have the unconditional love of God, you will qualify. This is God's word. This is the qualifying for you to be able to speak the truth. Has anybody ever told you the truth and they didn't love you? Nobody? One person. Brother, me and you have heard the truth without love being lathered in it, you know. Matter of fact, have you ever spoke the truth to somebody and you didn't really love them as you told them? I got some more honest people in that one. You know, but see, that is not God's way. See, God's way is speaking the truth in love. See, we want to leave that out sometimes just because we think we know the truth, and we do. We may know the truth. But the qualifier for to release that word is your love and my love. Amen? And see, that love, when you reach into the scriptures and you study the Greek concerning this thing concerning this truth, in order to be able to speak the truth, he says, number one, you're going to have to hear the truth. You, before you speak the truth, you're going to have to hear the truth. Yes. Have you ever run across somebody that they like to always tell you, but you can never tell them? Okay. I'm just wondering if y'all living in the same world that I'm living in. This is the world I'm living in, you know. I'm in it, but I'm not of it. Amen. So it says you got to be able to hear the truth. Number two, you've got to be able to embrace the truth that you hear. Have you ever walked away from truth without really embracing it? I mean, we all have. See, this is what he's saying. He said, this is all the way that God is shaping his people to be able to speak the truth. Number one, you're going to have to listen to the people that's above you. Listen to the people that's training you and growing up. So once we begin to mature and grow up with the things that they are giving you to do, they're giving you to practice. Once you receive that and you're able to walk through it, you'll be able to speak the truth. Plus, you'll also be able not to be deceived. You won't be children. But see, if you're still a child, because we're always children, right? His children, but we're growing. But see, if you're going to remain childish, you will never be able to speak the truth in love. Because a childish person will always be concerned about themselves and not the other people. So that's the reason that, you know, when this stuff is laid out in the scripture, this is the pathway that Jesus said, this is how it works. It's not going to work another way. This is how it works. Amen? This is how it works. So you must hear the truth and you must embrace the truth. Once you hear the truth and embrace the truth, you'll know the truth. And once you know the truth, you shall what? Be made free. So you need to speak the truth out of freedom, not out of bondage. If you're speaking from bondage, you're not going to speak freedom. So you're going to be able to hear it. You're going to be able to embrace it. You're going to be able to know it. And then you're going to be able to become the truth. See, when you shall know the truth, you've become one with it. In other words, you're inseparable. That truth will not separate from you. No matter what you go through, it will never leave you, because it has become who you are. Does that make sense? See, a lot of people are looking for the anchor of hope. And I'm telling you today that all of you are somebody's anchor. Not as a person, but as the hope that's inside you. Somebody's looking to reach and grab hold of you. Now, I'm not talking about physical. Grab hold of what you're having, the truth and hope. And they can grab hold of what you're saying, and you become the anchor. Why? Because you're the carrier of hope. The Bible says that hope is the anchor of our soul, of our mind, will, and emotions. There's a lot of people that's their mind, their will, and their emotions are all over the place because they don't have that anchor of hope. They're hopeless. You and I are being sent from these seats to go to people out in the workplace to give them truth that is so saturated with love that they'll know you love them even when you're saying something that may be hard. And then you're going to give them hope that they can actually walk away from you with an understanding that, wait a minute, what he said, what she said made sense. And all of a sudden it lingers with them, it sticks with them. Why? Because they felt the weight of the anchor. They felt the weight of what you're carrying. They felt the weight. You know, another word for glory is weight. Another word for glory is another definition is weight. I'm out. Most of y'all have heard this story. I went to Toronto years and years and years ago to see what was going on up there and all that kind of stuff. And I was praying for Brenda. God, really, I really want you to change your life. She was good, but I wanted to have an experience with God that she'd never forget. And while we were up there, I went up to the altar. The first night, I went up to the altar, you know, and she went up to the altar, and it was time for us to leave, and I couldn't move. I'm telling you the truth. My feet were just like this, and I could not move my feet. 45 minutes. I had two men, both of them from Georgia. One was 6'3", one was 6'4". One got on this side, one got on that side, and they said, "Son, are you ready to go back to your seat?" I said, "Absolutely." They both put their arm around me, and I put their arm around their shoulder, and they're tugging, pulling, and yanking, and my shirt's up. Halfway up my stomach and everything else, and one got in front of me and just yanked as hard as he could. He stopped and said, "How much do you weigh?" And at that time, I weighed about 175. Yeah. 175. I said, "About 175. He said, "How much does your feet weigh?" I said, "I don't really know. You know, and I was that way. And finally, James Riles came by. Wonderful. He's gone on to heaven. But he came by and gave me a word. And he said, "Listen, the reason you can't move is because the glory of God is on your feet." He said, "I'm going to pray for you. And when I do, the Lord's going to release you." He said, "But you'll never walk the same." And he prayed for me. And I thought I was going to float away. I really did. Anyway, I got back and my feet were sort of like, you know, somebody said, "Well, I don't believe that." Well, you don't have to. You really don't. My wife can witness to it. I know some other people, Pastor Roger Gosling and his wife can witness to it. You know, you cannot stop somebody from picking you up. If they're a lot bigger than you, they can pick you up. But these are two guys who were not able to do that. But it was the power of God dealing with me about the power he has in my life. I wanted him to deal with Brenda. But it didn't work out that way. Anyway, so when you begin to see this, it impacts our walk. So what we have, we can give away. What we don't have, we can't give anybody. If you don't have freedom, you won't be able to give them freedom. If you don't have love, you won't be able to give them love. If you don't have the truth, you won't be able to give them the truth. If you don't have compassion, you won't be able to give them compassion. Does that make sense? You can't give away what you don't have. A religious person will try. But all you get is a religious phase, a religious word, a religious system. To grow up and to be able to speak the truth. He says, in that we are to grow up in all aspects of Him, in Him. I just want Jesus as my Savior. Y'all get that? Which means I don't want Him as my Lord. I want Him to save me, but I don't want to have to do what He wants me to do. So that's not growing up in all aspects of Him. That's picking and choosing the things that we want to do that Jesus said we should do. How many of you have ever been in the picking and choosing way of Jesus before? You know, well, I really want to do this. And God says, but I want you to do this. And I said, I know, but I don't want to. We don't actually say that, but our behavior does sometimes. Amen. And He said, we're to grow up into all aspects of Him, who is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body, He goes on, is fitted together, fitted and held together. But growing up, this word grow means effectively, successfully, and completely. See, each time you grow, see, when you're growing up in the physical, you just don't go from 3 feet to a 3 feet tall to a 6 foot tall person. Boy, that'd be something. No, you just grow little by little. And that little, ever how much it is complete. Do you hear what I'm saying? It's not to the fullness of the where they're going, fullness of where they're going, but that it's complete. That part's complete. God is completing us in truth, completing us in who we are and the fullness of Him little by little. Revelation by revelation, faith by faith, hope by hope. We're growing more into who He is. Amen. And if we're not, we're going to still be childish. We're going to still be deceived. We're going to be tossed here and there, and we're going to be deceived and taken in by the schemes of the enemy. But see, this is the way God said, Jesus said, before I leave here, here's what I'm distributing. That's how important it was to Him. Okay. See, what he's provided the way, and we've got to provide the walk. Amen. Now, the walk is still Him. He's still in us, and he's still bringing us to the place of the fullness. But I heard Pastor John use a word this morning in Sunday school that is exactly what I'm talking about today. It's cooperate. Cooperate. Co-laborers with Christ. Cooperate. See, is your operation of life with Him? Y'all remember me telling you that Bob Jones told me one time, he said, I got a word for you from the Lord. And I said, I want to hear whatever God got to say. And he said, you're fired. I'm pastor of this church. He said, Lord wants me to tell you you're fired. Well, now it rattled me, and I said, what do you mean I'm fired? Hey, Bob, what does that mean? And he just paused and just let me sweat for a little bit, you know. And he said, no, well, what it is, he said, he's fired you from working for Him. He don't want you working for Him anymore. He wants you to work with Him. Oh, my goodness, that helped me so much. It really did. Co-laborers with Him. You know, we look at that, and actually this thing about this word grow, it means He provides the avenue and the means for us to grow, and we have to cooperate with those means so we can grow. Because you can refuse to grow. You can refuse to come off the spiritual pacifier. You can refuse to eat meat. That's what Paul talked about it a lot. He said, you are still drinking milk. I can't tell you bigger things because you can't handle it. He wouldn't criticize them that they couldn't handle it. He's criticizing them because they've made a decision to stay babies. So many Christians have made a decision to stay small. because they see beyond it and say, no, it looks too hard. See, that's picking and choosing what we want to do with Jesus. That's when he's our Savior and not our Lord. Right? Okay. So he goes on, he says, he has fitted and holds the body together, that by through every thing that the joints supply. See, you're not here just to sit. You're not here just to listen. You are here to be taught the Word of God. You are here to be encouraged to get active in doing what God's given you to do. You are a supply to someone else or to everyone else that's it. Listen, how much did you miss the body when we were down to 10 people by the government's rules? No more than 10. And we, no, I mean, I was, you know, I remember the first time I preached, the first Sunday that I preached, and nobody was here except praise team and the sound, Randy and the media team. That's the only ones that was here. We could just do 10 people. It was just empty. They got through singing, and they all seven or eight of them, six, seven, they were down here. And here I was a nervous wreck. I was like, how's this supposed to work? You know, I shouldn't have bothered you. Well, it shouldn't have, but it did. You know, I'm just being honest and being human with it. And then God finally showed me, he said, listen, your audience is me. Whether it's 10 or whether it's 10,000, your audience is me. Right? And I said, got it. Got it. Nervousness goes away. I got it. Now, it didn't go away during that first service. I was nervous all the way through the service. It was later that he sort of took me to the woodshed and said, listen, what are you upset about? You know, it's almost like he's asking me, do you want to quit? You know, because everything, the whole world changed. But, you know, just with speaking and just with people saying, because I could tell, some of them could tell. And then the next Sunday, there was a sneaky little trick. About socks. They was all going to wear all kind of funny looking socks. And when I was up here, they was going to do this. And show all these, you know, different color socks. And I went like, why were they wanting to do this? They just wanted to help me. Just wanted to encourage me. They just want me to lighten up. You know, it's going to be fine. They can get up here and have to play without people. You know. So anyway. So we're all in this curve, but why is it so important for us to know how to do the truth? I want to share this with you before we close. How many of you know sometimes if we take the time to read and study the Bible will show you like a newspaper for today. This is one of them, Isaiah 59. Verse 13, Isaiah 59, verse 13. It talks about transgression and denying the Lord. He said, turning away from our God. Now listen, when people begin to turn away from their God, here's what happens. Watch this. Speaking oppression and revolt. Instead of speaking the truth, they speak oppression and speak revolt. They speak for unjust gain. And the revolt is continual rebellion. Or their words will be rebellious. Or their words will be about lawlessness. Does that make sense? Lawlessness? Have you understood lawlessness today more than any other day? I do. I've never seen such lawless behavior. And just out rebellion. He said, so here you go. You're speaking oppression, not speaking truth. And you're speaking revolt. You're speaking rebellion. Conceiving in and uttering from the heart lying words. In other words, you give birth to lies. And you begin to utter them to the people. And in the Greek, it this thing means that you tell a lie in order to be able to cover their eyes. You tell the lie in order to be able to cover their eyes so that they cannot see clearly. Is any of that going on today? Absolutely. Lies are being, it's a war of words. Lies are being spread around in order to cover your eyes so you can't see. You can only hear what they say. And then he goes on and he says, and justice is turned back. Justice is turned back. Well, what does that mean? It means that justice, number one, is ignored. It's not that they don't know what justice is. They ignore it. They ignore, and we can get to this place. We can ignore justice. And it's pushed back. It is opposed. Justice is pushed back. In other words, they have redefined justice to their definition and not justice for all. Justice is what I want. I'm going to define justice for me. Well, it doesn't work that way. I'm going to define truth for me. It doesn't work that way. Y'all with me? See, the reality that this is going on in the earth, and we should not be a part of any of this. Then he goes on and he says this, and righteousness stands far off. Righteousness stands a long way off. What does that mean? It means that the right standing that we should have is at a distance, but it has no place to land. It also means that you cannot advance in your walk of righteousness because it is held back and held at a place that's far off. Not allowed here. Y'all with me? Does that make sense? Not allowed here. We're going to decide who's righteous and who's not, who's good, who's not. We're going to decide who's your mama, who's your daddy, who's your brother. We're going to tell you who that is. Y'all, this is a reality in a culture that is a cancel culture. Then it goes on and says, for truth has stumbled in the street. Truth has stumbled in the street. What is that? How does truth stumble? This thing says it's weak in the ankles. Have you ever been weak in your ankles? Have you ever had a sprained ankle? Could you run on a sprain? Could you actually walk real fast? How many of you limped? You favored the pain. So the enemy wants you to favor the pain, so the truth that you have will stumble. So if you start favoring the pain that you have, you're going to be limited on the amount of truth that you carry to people. Because why? What you're focused on? The pain. I'm going to make sure that it don't hurt. Why? Because it's a weakness in the ankle, no strength. And it also means it's close to collapsing. Truth is close to collapsing. Doesn't mean it's not still truth. And also, it says, where did it stumble? Tell me, show me in the script, where did it stumble? What does scripture say? Where did it stumble? It stumbled where? Stumbled in the street. It stumbled in the very public arena of life. Didn't say it stumbled at home. Didn't say it stumbled at church. It said it stumbled in the streets. Why? People are unable to tell the truth like they need to be able to tell the truth because they're favoring pain so much that it won't come out because they're afraid they'll hurt worse. And uprightness cannot enter. Uprightness cannot enter. Uprightness, you know that word uprightness? It means honor and respectable behavior. When this stuff happens, and it has happened, and it is happening today, and uprightness, honor cannot enter in. They're not going to enter. They're going to enter in. Let authorities enter in. Why? They have to get. They have to submit to that. It also means cannot enter. Means barricaded. I'm looking at this thing and I'm reading the newspaper for today. Barricaded. We're setting up barricades. We don't want y'all to come in. You can't come in. This is our place. This belongs to us, and we're going to start a new revolution right here in this block. Well, whose block was it to begin with? Theirs. So number one, they're thieves. Well, you ought not say that. Well, no, it's the truth. It's the truth. They have no righteousness. They have no uprightness. And they don't want any of that allowed in the barricades that they put up. Not going to honor anything. We're going to do what we want to do. We're going to say what we want to say. You know, and we're against the establishment. We're against everything. We're against it all. Right? Except for the tents that they live in that we built. Except for the water that they're drinking that somebody else has given them. Listen, the hypocrisy of all this is huge. Am I getting political? No, I'm telling you about life. Barricaded. Then he goes on and he says, in other words, it's not tolerated. We won't tolerate. Matter of fact, the police were told, y'all not allowed in here. Get out. No honor, no respect. And we're not going to tolerate it. This has been a reality in this culture of cancel. How about this one? How about this one? Church is non-essential. Not to me. I never did believe that lie. Don't believe it today and won't believe it tomorrow. They can say it all they want, and they can do what they want to in all of it. But I know who said church is essential. Amen. He did. He said, "I will build my church, and the one that I build, the gates of hell, cannot stand up, cannot prevail against the church that I build." Now, is that non-essential? All right. Then he says that truth, yes, truth is lacking. Yes, truth, that's verse 15. Yes, truth is lacking. What does that mean? It means there is no law and order. Somebody said, well, I don't like this verbiage that says law and order. It's too forceful. You know my response? I love the phrase law and order. Because it gives me safety. And it's peaceful. It's the ones that disobey the law and order that the harshness comes to. But that's what he said. He says the truth is lacking. There's no rank. There's no law and order. Then it says this. Then it says this. He who turns aside from evil makes himself a prey. He who turns aside and doesn't participate in the evil, he who does not yield to this makes himself a prey. You know what that means? It makes himself a target. They'll want to cancel you. Well, guess what? You can't be canceled. Somebody told me, said, well, you know, if you keep preaching this way, you know, somebody's going to cancel you. And I said, they can't cancel me. All they can do is stop listening. Turn it off. Don't come. Are you hearing me? I'm not. What it does say here that a prey in the Bible out of Psalm 76, you want to know how someone who is a prey gets treated, you get plundered. If you're not fully engaged with the things that God wants you to do, you'll get plundered because they'll make a target out of you. Doesn't mean, you know, every weapon formed against you will shall not prosper. In other words, God didn't say you won't feel the weapon. God didn't say you won't know the weapon. God said the weapon that's been formed against you won't have its end result of what it was fashioned for. Said that they'll want to plunder, they'll want to strip you of resources, they'll want to make you depressed, and they want to. And the Bible says in this Psalm of 76, it said, and none of the warriors could use their hands. Think about that, Tim. None of the warriors, none of the men could be able to use their hands for warfare. You just can't. In other words, but see, that's what they want to do. They want to make you and I helpless in order to be able to resist evil. If you want to hate something, hate evil, not people. There was a special anointing on Jesus that was called oil of gladness, oil of joy, because he hated evil and he loved righteousness. See, that anointing comes to us of gladness and joy when we hate evil, not people, but we love righteousness. Anyway, we are here to supply each other by every joint, every connection. See, you are here to contribute. Everyone here is here to contribute, to make a contribution. Not just to take in, but to give out, to contribute. It's almost, even in the giving of financial means, that God is not looking for the same equal amount from everybody. It's not equal amount. It's just equal sacrifice. Now you can think about that. Okay. But one last thing here is that when you start doing and I start doing the parts that we've been given to do, us as individual parts, he says this, it will cause growth in the body. It's not about how big we get as far as number. It's not. It's not about how big we are. Right? It's how connected we are. Not how big, but how connected. Connected in supplying the contribution that you have. I don't have much to give. One little boy had a bag with fish and loaves. That's all he had. It fed multitudes when he gave it to the Lord. He fed multitudes. So don't downgrade the smallness of what you think you have. Anyway. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. He says, causes growth in the body, and watch this, and for the building up of itself in love. Do you know what builds this congregation up in love? Each other. Each other doing their part. Each other going to what's happening and connecting after this service is over with and getting the things done that we need to get done together and being there for each other. It says, you see, how is the church going to be built up in love? Going to do that by us. Each other, as each other does their part, it builds itself up. You want to be a great loving church? Say, we can be known for good worship. We can be known for good teaching. We can be known for love. But see, if we're known for all that and not known for our love, we're noisy cymbals. We need to be known for our love. And basically, I hear that a lot. I felt this is a loving church, and I felt the Spirit of God, and I felt loved and accepted while I was there. But see, we've not arrived. We're still growing. And we still need each other contributing to what we're doing so we can continue to grow up in love. Amen? Amen. Stand to your feet. Online people, we have videos for the children. If you'll go to fathersvineyard.org, on that main page, you'll see one for the preschool and you'll see one for the kids' church. Please participate in that, and your children will love it. Sit down with them and just watch it together. And God bless you, and we'll see you next week. Okay, guys. We have a call on our lives. He's waiting for the answer. We can't answer to partial. We have to answer to the totality of what he wants us to do. There'll be areas that he's calling you and I to that we don't know what to do. But he does. All he's asking you and I to do is step up. Just step up. Just bring the vessel, yielded vessel, and he'll fill us up. And listen to this, and he'll also pour us out. I think that's going to be more about the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. When we're so full, we get poured out. I really do. I think a lot of that has to do with that. But we love you. Your best days are in front of you. Your greatest work with him, not for him, your greatest work with him is around the corner. Come on up, brother, if you got something. I don't know. Here.
I got to share this because this has just been really, it actually stunned me. I had a conversation with a young lady where I work. She's in her early 20s. And the conversation got started because when I walked into her office, I heard praise music in her office. And so we got started talking about going to church. And she said, well, I was serving here, but then I was serving there. And as the conversation ended, that phrase stuck with me. And so the next day I went back to her office and I asked her, I said, you know, when you were talking about attending a church, you kept referring to serving here or serving there. And she said, well, that's what I do. She says, now, there's a family member that attends church, but they don't serve. She said, but where I go, I serve. And that was just a natural thing for her to say. And that struck me right here because I don't think I've ever stated in a conversation that I serve at Father's Vineyard. It set my paradigm for my mind. And I just wanted us to be aware that we serve here. We serve the Lord from here.
Amen. Good word. Amen. That changes our mindset from going to church to being the church. You don't go to church. You really don't. You are the church. You're the church when you leave here. You're the church when you come here. You're the church when you're nailing nails. You're the church when you're selling insurance. You're the church when you're at Chick-fil-A. You're still the church. Amen. So let's leave here and let's go be the church and let's speak the truth to people in a loving way so they can have hope as their anchor for their life. Amen. Father, thank you so much for the word. Thank you for this people. And we ask you to infuse us with your spirit in a way that we will put actions to the words that we've heard today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. God bless y'all.
Thank you for listening to the Father's Vineyard podcast. If you'd like more information about Father's Vineyard, please visit us 24/7 at www.fathersvineyard.org. Or you can call the office at 828-287-2868. Thanks again.